This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, and also, I think many of our listeners would say, the voice of reason when we're talking about college athletics, Mark Johnson. Mark, I'm assuming you saw on Friday, President Donald Trump signed an executive order Friday.
Yep.
First off, I mean, all these ideas you and I have talked about, The question I have for you, does this have legs to stand on? Does this have real teeth?
I think it does to a degree. I was talking with a couple of coaches here just a few days ago, and one of the guys says to me, "Go, this is going to do nothing." And I said, "I'm not sure it's designed to do anything." He says, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "I don't think the intention of this was to lay down the edict and say this is what it's going to be in college athletics. I think what this was a seed, kind of seeding the cloud. Let me lay this out there. Let's put something tangible out there, and we all know immediately the lawsuits are coming, but it speeds up the process. So now you've got a framework out there. Now let the legal action take place so that these cases quickly go through the court system as quickly as we can get them through, and then you've got some sort of legal ground then to build upon on the backside of this." So that's the way I read this. I didn't think this was going to be any kind of, coming down from the heavens, some sort of edict, this is what college athletics is going to be, and we'd all abide with it. I thought this was a way just to kind of speed up the process to get through the legal process, I thought.
That's a great point. I mean, the fact that it's getting this high it means that we can't just talk about it anymore. Yeah. We've been doing that forever. Exactly. While we're talking, everything keeps, more and more things keep unraveling in the college world, and all we've been able to do is talk about it at this point.
Exactly. And so this gives us something tangible now. So here it comes. He signs the executive order. It sits out there from a legal standpoint. The lawsuits now immediately jump on this thing, and then we start moving forward with traction, if you will. So that's kind of the way I looked at this. I thought it was interesting over the weekend. You might have seen it. It was everywhere. You know, the CBS panel was discussing college athletics, and they were going back and forth and on and on and on. There's some stuff in there that I don't do this often, but I tweeted back at Jay Billis the other day. I think Jay, and he's a brilliant guy, make no mistake about it, but I think Jay has been a horrible impact on college athletics. And way back when I was at Syracuse years ago, because Jay was, we're in the Big East, and Jay was coming through doing games all the time, and he and I debated this back and forth. I thought Jay was so far off base to begin with. And he was laying out these ideas out there that, he likes to compare apples and oranges all the time. Oh, look at coaches can jump back and forth between programs, but players can't, right? That's a false argument. Okay. Number one, coaches have contracts. If they break a contract, there are repercussions of that. There has to be a buyout. Now, whether that's the coach or the organization, the school that he's going to, are paying it out, but there is some sort of payment that's made to the school that he's leaving in order to do that, where players are just able to jump willy-nilly from one school to another. And so you're arguing apples and oranges when you start making these comparisons between coaches and players. I think that's not a fair argument. So a lot of this is built just nothing upon – it's built upon just whim at different times. And that's – Brady, that's what always bothers me about that. We haven't been talking about the same thing. So if we want this thing to be on a similar footing, if you will – then players have to have real-world responsibilities. They have to be employees and such that, yes, we're going to have contracts. Okay, and if that's the case then, okay, well, institutions, guess what? Your radio station's not paying for your house. Your CU's not paying for my house and our food directly. It's indirect, and so the players have to live by that as well. Coaches aren't getting houses, and they're not getting all of their food paid for, and on and on and on. So let's then make this, if we're going to do it, let's have apples to apples. Then players have to have contracts. They got to have responsibility. You can't pay. The school's not paying for your education and your medical and all of these different services, because right now the players are getting their butt breaded on both sides, and that needs to change. And so that's why it hasn't been a fair discussion, in my view, up to this point.
Yeah, well, and again, the big issues here, obviously, we're going to get into NIL stuff too, but the transferring, it all kind of goes together, and limiting the transfer to basically one time, I think is an excellent compromise. One time before you have to deal with any punishment like sitting out a season. I would hope that's something that could eventually go through.
Yeah, no, I've got no issue with that. The problem you get into is when you start getting into, Congress is going to have to act here at some point in time, because an organization like the NFL can make their own rules. You've got Major League Baseball can make their own rules. College has not been able to do that so far, and everything they do then gets taken to court. So at some point, they have got to get the exemption where they can oversee their own organization. Here's the problem. I had a coach tell me this, that he talked to a politician, and the politician in Washington said, there is no way we're going to give the NCAA the same kind of exemptions we give Major League Baseball and the NFL and everybody else, because they don't deserve it. They haven't actually governed themselves very well and trustworthily up to this point in time. And so there's a credibility issue with the NCAA right now.
Yeah, no question about it. I will be very interested to just see, like you said, this is kind of planting that seed to kind of get this ball rolling, where we are having these. If we're going to debate it, let's debate it. Let's find a middle ground here, because you and I both agree, Mark, that we just can't continue to go down this road. It's getting far too complicated.
Well, it's getting ridiculous, and quite honestly, and let's be very honest about it. Virtually every athletic department in America is going into deep, deep debt right now. Everybody, virtually everybody, is running in the red right now. And that can't continue. Because at some point in time, that house of cards, economically speaking, is going to collapse. And so that is an issue. And what we're doing, I get a kick out of it, and it's happening everywhere. Apparently, and I didn't realize this, apparently every college player in America is Michael Jordan now, right? Michael Jordan sends that fax, I'm back. Well, guess what? There's a small handful of people that can make those sort of announcements. I'm back, right? If your name was Kobe Bryant, or your name was, Tom Brady, or, Wayne Gretzky, or, pick your superstar athlete. But this idea that we have to celebrate every single athlete, well, thank you for coming back and accepting a larger contract and getting every aspect of your life cared for and paid for. I mean, that's really where it really does what we're doing, and there's a lot of aspects of society we can talk about. This social media is the primary culprit, but the feeding of the narcissism in all of us at this point in time really is stunning to watch. That everyone apparently has the, shall we say, the cachet, the gravitas to have to make an announcement that I'm coming back. I saw this, somebody from, I don't know who it was, some college player, averaged 2.5 points and like a rebound and a half or something. Somebody out east was in the ACC or somewhere, and the guy made the announcement, I'm back. Well, thank goodness we've got that kind of productivity coming back, right? This isn't the player that's the All-American and, averaging 22 a game and 13 rebounds or something. I mean, these are just bench guys, but this is where we've come, that everybody now, we must all announce, because the world is waiting with bated breath to hear that Mark Johnson, the 10th guy on the bench at NC State, is coming back, right? But that's where we've gotten to in this world.
Well, it's so frustrating, because, again, it makes for content, but it's like now I'm looking at all these teams that we follow and we care about, and it's not about who you're bringing in first anymore. It's about who can you keep, and that's literally everyone on the roster. You have a question as to whether or not they're going to come back. I'm seeing young dudes, like freshman guys. It's a shock that they are coming back. We barely even got to see them play.
Did you see, you saw just a few minutes ago on Twitter, the University of Tennessee women's basketball program has nobody left on their team. They're the last player, a five-star freshman that just played this last year, had moderate numbers, just announced that she's going. So think about it. There's a blue blood women's basketball program. Tennessee, I mean, you think about Pat Summitt and how dominant they were through the 2000s. And now Pat's obviously passed on and there's somebody else there. But every single player has left. Can you? Are you serious? So every year you've got to totally rebuild your roster? That's why when I was out in Las Vegas for the Crown event last week, and a couple fans stopped me like, holy cow, we lost three guys. Yeah, that's nothing. I mean, that's literally nothing in 2026. You know, now they were prominent guys, but still, I mean, it really is an amazing thing. Now, here's the other side of the coin, by the way, and here's where reality is sitting in with some of these players as well. We talk about them having full responsibility, okay? If you're going to be paid like a big boy, we're going to treat you like a big boy, right? We're not going to pay all your bills. We're not going to do all of these things. You're going to have to actually start managing everything. There's also what we're seeing in college athletics now is guys getting fired, and they're just moving on from them. And so that's the other side of this, and you can tell I've heard some stories from some coaching friends of mine about players like, wait a minute, you're telling me I can't come back? Well, yeah, you can't have all the freedom of this. Guess what? In the real world of being an employee, you can get hired and fired. If you don't live up to our expectations, we can move on from you. And so there's also buyer's remorse from another players out there that are like, well wait a minute, boy, it'd be nice to have a contract for 2 or 3 years. That way I can't get fired. You're exactly right, but that's not the way it is right now.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and that's the thing without the contracts or some kind of guarantee. Okay, you can't transfer. You can transfer once, so I got to look over my shoulder once with you or one time. But if I get a guy that's transferred, then obviously I don't have to worry about that anymore.
There you go.
That's the such an issue now. The fact that these coaches, like I just saw Michael Malone, Mark, is going to North Carolina. My first thought is, really? He didn't have to deal with that kind of stuff in the NBA. Now, how is that going to work when he has to deal with trying to retain guys when you can't just sign them to a 5-year contract?
Did that just happen?
It just happened. It's a wild story, man. Yeah.
Wow.
North Carolina hiring Michael Malone. So now North Carolina has Bill Belichick and Michael Malone.
Holy
Isn't that wild?
That is a I'm not anti-Michael Malone.
No.
That just is a perplexing hire. But that's, you know, this is where we're at in college athletics. The line has become so blurred at this point in time. And I don't know a coach. There's the people I work with at CU. I've told you I've got a pool of friends in both football and basketball that I talk to on a regular basis. Everybody hates every aspect of this. Nobody likes it. Nobody's enjoying it. The only people right now, for a limited period of time at this point, are the athletes at this point in time that have every benefit going their direction. But nobody else seems to be enjoying this in any way, shape, or form. And that's why we've got to get to the point where you get your arms around this, because it really is. It's so disappointing and so difficult to understand and appreciate. And I won't say a name. I'll just say one of the CU players that left. I talked to a coaching friend of mine who his institution was looking at said player. And I said, well, what kind of ballpark are we talking financially? The number he threw at me, literally, I about dropped the phone.
Wow.
And I said, well, this is a relatively limited player. And he goes, well, I know, but their ability really has nothing to do with it. We have a need, so we're willing to pay that much money. And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Nobody does business that way. Nobody.
No, and what you're seeing is, yeah, like, I'm seeing it with a bunch of players where it's like, yeah, he was good, but really that amount of money? Colleges are more likely to just say, you know what? We got the money. We're going to throw it at him. We got the donor support, so let's throw it at him. If it sticks, great. If it doesn't, we'll throw money at another guy.
Yeah, you're hard-pressed to understand it. Now you're seeing numbers. For example, since we're just about to wrap up college basketball, you're hearing numbers that next year, if you want to be at the top of college basketball, you better be in the $12 to $15 million range for your roster. Keep in mind, Kentucky was over 20 already this year. Got knocked out early. North Carolina got knocked out in the first round. I mean, you just wonder. There is going to be voter fatigue at some point in time. And you wonder exactly when that starts to happen, when I say voter fatigue. I should say donor fatigue. When exactly they're going to be like, we can't do this anymore, you know?
Yeah, I would imagine at some point it's already hitting some.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard, you know, obviously big names like Troy Aikman. We've heard from others where it's like, I'm just not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, I'm hard-pressed to understand it. But I thought there was an interesting piece I read the other day where somebody like Sports Business Journal or somebody did this piece about, you know, and you and I have talked to this in some regard in the past, that you're a college athlete, you're going to get through. Now, there are certain levels. Okay, the top-level guys are going to make life-changing kind of money, right? They're going to make life-changing kind of money. And okay, that's one thing. But that's 1%. There's going to be the middle-range guys that are going to make very nice money. But, you know, I was trying to explain this. I was talking to a college student. I got some kids stopped me on campus here the other day, and we got talking about it. And I said, you understand something, okay? When you hear that somebody gets $500,000, okay, that's a large sum of money for anybody. We would all appreciate if somebody gave us $500,000. But I said, let's really look at the reality of this. There are some agents out there getting somewhere between 10 and 20%. So let's just say 10% of that is gone right there, okay? So that's a pretty big chunk of change right off the bat. Uncle Sam's going to get their 37, 38, 39%, whatever that is. Okay, all of a sudden you're talking about nearly 50% of that money is gone right off the top. Okay, so now your $500,000 went to $250,000. That's still a very nice chunk of money, make no mistake about it. But then I'm around this enough and I see enough of it. I talk to other guys in the industry. You know, the kid comes rolling in, he's got the $300,000 car. Okay, now that's gone pretty fast. And so that money can disappear for you. That's not life-changing money. So what happens then? You get these young people, they're living high on the hog for about 4 years, going through college, or 5 years, getting through the back end of this. Then they get to the back end, and they're not professional athletes. They don't have their degree. They can't tap into an alumni base. And all of a sudden, they're looking around for a job, and they're, you know, okay, hey, we got a nice position we can give you. It'll be $60,000 a year. Well, that is a very big change in your lifestyle all of a sudden. But that's the reality of what these young men and young women, well, especially on the young men's side, they're making more money on that side than women are. That's going to be a very tough thing for somebody to understand and comprehend.
Yeah.
And make a change. You know, and so I don't think we're doing anybody any real favors in this whole deal. I've stated that before. I've been stating it for 25 years. I still think it's true. But, you know, nobody seems to want to listen to me. And here we are in this total mess.
It's a mess, Mark. And no, we very much enjoy listening to you on this because I don't think there's – I think even people that are for how these changes have gone, I think they could even admit that it's not the way they believed this would happen, the way we're getting more and more transfers, the way administration, coaches, whatever – external factors are reaching out to these players before they even enter the transfer portal. We're not even following the new rules of it, too.
No,
so it's made it 10 times easier to break those rules.
Well, I'll say this. If you didn't see this coming, you're rather naive. All right? Listen, this is human history right here. This is human sin nature right here. It's all about greed. I want mine. I'm going to keep mine. I'm going to get mine. That's what human nature is all about. It is the history of humankind. I don't care what country. I don't care what denomination. I don't care what race. It's the history of all of us. This is what happens. So what did we do? We opened up the bank vault and we opened up the door. I'm going to run for the door and I'm going to get as much out of the bank vault as I possibly can. This shouldn't be a mystery to anybody. We just made this thing, just opened it up and said, go. And I've said on your show before, I said, you know, greed and envy used to be two of the seven deadly sins. Now they're considered as virtues, right? I'm going to get my bag. That's virtuous. And so nobody should be surprised where we're at. This is exactly where human nature always takes us. I mean, it's the Lord of the Flies, for goodness sakes. Everyone read that book back in junior high or high school. This is the way it always works out, so we shouldn't be surprised by that. So if we're going to have this system, could we have done something to monetize college athletics? Certainly we could have. There could have been all sorts of things that we could have done leading up to this, going all the way back to 2004 when Jeremy Bloom opened up this whole thing with, hey, I'm an Olympic athlete, I just want to get my endorsement deals there. And by the way, just a quick aside, you know, you said something about talking about NIL. There is no NIL going on virtually at all.
No, you're right.
It is all pay for play. And by the way, do you know how they're getting around NIL right now? I just found this out a short time ago. You're going to love this one. You ready for this? I haven't heard many people talking about this. Here's the way, Brady, they're getting around NIL right now. Because the new rules have this clearinghouse, right? You're supposed to send the NIL deal to the clearinghouse. And then they'll take a look at the legitimacy and make sure it's actually an endorsement deal. You're using name, image, and likeness. Well, that's not happening. You're getting around this by crazy. So here's the way they're getting around it. So said college team says to, let's say you know, you're being represented by Bob, and I'm talking to Bob about getting you. I've got $1 million in my revenue sharing, so I'm going to give that to Brady. But we've made a $3 million deal. Well, how are we going to get you $2 million? Well, here's the way we do it. We're not going to go through the clearinghouse because it's going to be very tough for us to get our deal through the clearinghouse. So I'm going to hire your agent, Bob, as a consulting contract. He's going to consult with me on what athletes I need to be looking at. And I'm going to pay him $2 million. And then he's going to give that to you.
Wow.
That's the way they're getting around
this. My goodness.
Right now.
Yeah.
There's the loophole. I had no idea, and about 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a coaching buddy of mine, and I said something about, how are they paying this? And he goes, well, I'll tell you how they're doing it. He said, this is what's happening, and this is the new way of cheating in college athletics.
Wow. I mean, but that's the thing. They're just getting more creative with their workarounds here,
yep.
And it blows your mind. It really does.
There's no penalties. The tampering is going on with coach. You know what happens in the NFL if you tamper with a coach?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
You've seen that. I mean, The price to pay for that is enormous, right? Millions of dollars in draft picks and on and on and on. You don't think North Carolina's been tampering with coaches all over the country? Right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
yeah, of course mm-hmm. they have. And they're tampering with players, and not specifically. Oh, North Carolina probably is, but mm-hmm. everybody else is as well. Everybody's tampering, and there's no penalty for it. So as long as I can put my hand in the fire, I'm not going to get burned. Why am I going to stop putting my hand in the fire, right?
Well, and there's just so many workarounds, too, where it can't be, like, directly to you, you know?
Right.
You have so
yep.
many different ways of reaching out. Mark, great stuff from you, as always, my friend. And we'll see. I was fascinated to see this executive order on Friday, and we'll be following it along with you, I'm sure, as we progress here.
It's all about the lawyers right now, Brady.
Oh, yeah.
And
lawyers are just, like, you know, licking their lips. Heck, yeah, here we go. We're going to jump right back into this.
Exactly right. Always good to talk to you.
All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. All right, 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.